tight. Alain asked Hatchett to account for his own movements during the weekend and gleaned enough material to enable him to verify the youth's account of himself. "To return to Garcia," he said at last, "I want you to tell me if you ever heard Garcia say anything about this warehouse he intends to use as a studio in London."
"I never had much to do with that bloke. If you talk to him half the time, he never seems to listen. He did let out that it belonged to a bloke that's gone abroad somewhere. I heard him tell the girl Sonia that much."
"I see. Since you joined Miss Troy's classes, have you become especially friendly with any one of the other students?"
"Well, little girl Lee's all right. She treats you as if you were human."
"What about the men?"
"Marmsley's nothing but a big sissy. French Blake doesn't seem to know he's born, and Garcia's queer."
"What about Mr. Pilgrim?"
"Oh, he's all right. Him and me's cobbers."
"Was he on good terms with the model?"
"Oh, I don't know anything about that," he muttered. "I've got nothing in for Pilgrim. I've got no call to talk to dicks about my cobbers."
"You prefer to surround them with a dubious atmosphere of uncertainty and leave us to draw our own conclusions?"
"By crikey!" cried Hatchett. "It's nothing at all. It's only that the girl Sonia was going to have a kid and Pilgrim's the father."
In the silence that followed, Fox was heard to cough discreetly. "How do you know this, Mr. Hatchett?" asked Alain.
"Seen it in Ryden. It's like this. Me and Basil Pilgrim's got the same kind of pain smock, see? I hung mine up with the others in the junk room last Tuesday. On Wednesday morning I put it on, I felt a bit of paper in one of the pockets. It was a note scrawled on the back of a bill. It said, as near as I remember, 'Congrats on the engagement, but what if I tell her she's going to have a stepchild? I'll be in the studio tonight at 10. Advise you to come.' It was signed S."
"What did you do with it?"
"Oh, I didn't feel so good about reading it. I went into the junk room and shoved the blooming paper into his pocket. That evening I could see he was feeling pretty crook himself. I guess he read it."
"I see.
Look, Mr. Alain, you won't—"
"I won't clap the handcuffs on Mr. Pilgrim just yet. Now off you go.
Good eye, Mr. Alain."
Hatchett walked to the door and then swung round.
"Thanks a lot," he said. "Ta-ta for now."
The door banged and he was gone. Alain leant back in his chair. "What do you make of this business of the note, Fox?"
"Hard to say," said Fox. "Looks like the beginnings of blackmail."
"Very like. Very like.
From all accounts, it wouldn't be surprising if we found Garcia had set her onto it, would it now?"
"Speculative, but attractive."
"And then murdered her when he collared the money,"
said Nigel.
"You're a fanciful fellow, Bathgate," said Alain mildly.
"Well, isn't it possible?"
"Quite possible on what we've got.
Shall I get Mr. Pilgrim, sir?"
"I think so, Fox. We'll see if he conforms to the Garcia theme or not." Fox returned with Basil Pilgrim. He was tan, with a small head, square shoulders, and a narrow waist. His face was rather fine-drawn. Alain began at once to establish his movements after he drove away with Valmy Seacliff from Tatler's End House on Friday afternoon. Pilgrim said that they motored to some friends of Valmy Seacliff's who lived at Boxover, 12 miles away. They dined with these friends, a Captain and Mrs. Pascoe, spent the evening playing bridge, and stayed the night there. The next day they motored to Ankerton Manor, the Oxfordshire seat of Lord Pilgrim, where Basil introduced his fiancée to his father. They spent Saturday night at Ankerton and returned to Tatler's End House on Sunday afternoon. "At what time did you break up your bridge party on Friday night?" asked Alain.
"Fairly early-ish, I think, sir. About 11-ish. Valmy had got a snort of a headache and could hardly see the cards. I gave her some aspirin. She took 3 tablets and turned in."
"Did the aspirin do the job?"
"Oh, rather. She said she slept like the dead."
"Right. Now, about this unfortunate girl. Can you let any light in on the subject?"
"Fair, I can't. It's a damn bad show. I feel rotten about it."
"Had you any personal reason for feeling rotten about it? Had Sonia Gruck a closer link with you than with the rest of the class?"
Pilgrim stared straight in front of him, his lips parted. "I see I shall have to make a clean breast of it," he said at last.
"I think you would be wise to do so."
"It's got nothing to do with this business," he said. "Happened 3 months ago at a studio party in Bloomsbury. Sonia asked me to drive her home. It was the only time."
What about the child? Asked Aline.
God! Then she did tell somebody.
I don't believe it's true.
Everybody knows she's been Garcia's mistress for months. She was poisonously jealous of Valmy, and after Aline...